Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network. As always, you can find all of our Penn State football podcasts online at our website. That would be KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, or better yet, download the app, Keystone Sports, from the App Store on your phone. There you can also get all of our content streaming on our app, as well as a tab to ask your questions for Greg Pickle.
That's right.
Coming up in our Ask Greg segment. Welcome in, everybody. Thanks for joining us so much. As always, we have a full hour of Penn State football for you. I'm Andy Shea. I'm sitting in for our good friend Dustin Hawkinsmith. He is probably somewhere warm, probably somewhere where there's a beach or something.
That's right.
He doesn't generally want to be there, but he always ends up going there. So Dustin's off this week. Joining me is Greg Pickle, the great one, the great Greg Pickle.
He's been a Penn State, Andy. It's good to be back together again.
It's probably been months since you and I did a show together.
It has been.
I've done some Mondays, but it was generally when you were not here.
Right.
So it's been forever since you and I, so I'm excited about this. Greg is a Penn State football beat writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News, so he's the one that's going to carry the weight and the water up the hill for us this afternoon. We kick off our show with some news and notes. Quarter two will be a recruiting update with the expert, Mr. Greg Pickle. Your questions, his answers. Ask Greg Powers, quarter number three. And we close out our show this week. We're going to talk about the major overhaul in detail on the Penn State coaching staff. I'm very much looking forward to that because as unimportant as it might seem, I think it's very, very important as you get closer to, you know, July, August, and obviously into September. So let's start out with some news and notes. I got plenty of tidbits to go over with you. We'll see what we get to. We'll see what we leave on the cutting room floor. But the coaches' caravan was last week, a brief one, three stops. It was New York City, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C.
Yep.
It was all after you guys did shows last week. So I want to get some takes for you. You had a couple takes. First of all, I think the coaching change comment stuck out to you, and you definitely have a take on sort of what the theme, what I thought was the sort of, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Is this really the theme?
Yeah.
Which was the schedule and Pitt and Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, let's start with the scheduling one because I think that that's the thing that really perks a lot of ears around here, especially when you get talking about the Pitt-Penn State series and when it will be renewed. If you did miss the news, Sandy Barber saying that at least 2030 and perhaps later than that until the Nittany Lions and the Panthers will meet on the field again after this four-year series ends in 2020. Andy, I don't see any reason to schedule it before then, and quite honestly, I don't know if there'll be a reason to schedule it in 2030. I see it as a series and opponent for Penn State that, you know, if you beat them right now, the way where they are and where Penn State is, if you beat them, everyone says, well, duh, you're supposed to beat them. And if you lose, it becomes this major black mark on your schedule in a lot of ways. So I don't see any benefit for Penn State. And oh, by the way, that 9-game conference schedule is a bit of a problem, too.
Well, I think the 9-game conference schedule that you if you look at it, Penn State fans that don't want the game to go away, they're going to look at their university and go like, well, why don't you, you know, we've always done this. The Big Ten put them in a bad spot with the, you know, with the 9-game schedule because it's
not
either
to mention the division imbalance.
Correct. The division imbalance and the 5-4, 4-5. In other words, do you get 5 home games, 4 road games in the conference, or do you play 4 home games and 5 road games in the conference, right? So, in other words, Penn State has to make its meal ticket money on home games.
Yeah.
So it put them in a little bit more of a bind in terms of, A, it reduced the number, but B, it put them in a home game bind. And I'm not sure. I like the nostalgia. I don't think there's a huge downside necessarily to playing Pitt, but I understand why they don't need that game on their schedule anymore.
Yeah.
They have to have a guaranteed home game, right?
Yeah.
They have to have a guaranteed Kent State, Akron, whoever, Georgia State, whoever it might be, they need that game. The other two have to be strategic, correct?
Yeah.
And maybe you can get a team that's going to go 2 out of 3, but Pitt's going to want 1-1.
Right.
And Penn State, when it only has 3 options and one has to be a home, so now they're down to 2, the numbers just don't add up for Penn State. And it's not, it is a bit of an arrogance thing. Like, they're in a better position than Pitt.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely they are. And I mean, it just is what it is at this point, Andy. If you have the leverage, you have the luxury anymore of not using the competitive balance. You can call it competitive arrogance, whatever you want to call it.
I agree.
I don't think you can be in the position anymore to not take full advantage of that. We've seen what happens when you have a good non-conference schedule and you lose. It may leave you on the outside looking in. We've seen you kind of a bad one and win and get in. The college football playoff still has not given really anybody a clear way of looking at how things are going to shake out by the committee that makes the decision year in and year out. But you have to do what's going to put you in the best position to win, and you have to do what's going to put you in the best position to make money. Those two things go hand in hand. So if it means not scheduling Pitt to play a Virginia Tech and Auburn or something along those lines, then that's just the way it's going
to
be.
It's just the way it has to be. And oh, by the way, the college football playoff committee already showed that no matter who they beat in that year in 2016, that losing to Pitt for Penn State is costly.
Yeah,
it can cost them because Pitt doesn't carry enough weight. So you need two teams. If you're going to schedule a game like that, if it's Pitt and Penn State, then it's almost like, you know, the over under. You need both teams to get to the over, right?
Yes.
Well, looks like Penn State, if they wanted to get to the over, Pitt's not carrying its end of the weight. They're just not a strong enough program to carry that weight. All right, we're done with that. So
Moving on.
So there's four freshmen. We talked a little bit about this last week, but I definitely wanted your take on it about the four incoming freshmen enrolling in the first semester, summer semester at Penn State. They're on campus. They're in. It's Judge Culpepper, P.J. Mustipher, Will Levis, and Pat Freiermuth. They enrolled in the first spring semester instead of the second spring semester, which is when which is when Penn State incoming freshmen normally enroll.
Yes.
Sometime in June. They came in for the early one. This is not necessarily a very uncommon thing at top 10, top 15 programs, correct?
No, and I think the other thing, too, is that so Penn State, it kind of can be a little bit, not bizarre, but it has the May semester, then it has a summer semester one, then it has summer semester two. Some schools only have one summer semester. It's not broken up into two different things. Some don't have the May semester. So it sort of just kind of the way it all works out at other schools, you just don't have this problem. The kids show up for the first summer semester, and that's just the way it goes. However, I think he was talking to Blue White Illustrated, I believe James Franklin was, when he made the comments about these four guys coming in, and basically just said the way a lot of the schools work in the Mid-Atlantic, they just don't get out early enough for the guys to get here. Take Pennsylvania, for example. I mean, most of the PA kids, in fact, I think all the PA kids are still in school right now. So
they are.
If you're
absolutely
a PA guy, you're not getting out, you know, early enough to do this. Now that James Franklin and Penn State have brought this to the forefront, is that something they could work on for down the road? Yeah, I absolutely think it is.
I agree.
But, you know, I think one other question, too, that you brought up earlier that I think a lot of fans have as well is, well, why didn't Penn State do this earlier? And honestly, I think it's one of those things where you need almost a full year of working with a kid, his parents, his high school coach, his administrators. What if he runs track or plays baseball and he's not going to be able to obviously do both, finish those seasons out and enroll early? So, I mean, you put it all together, and it takes the right kind of schedule, the right kind of approach for it to work out, and for these four guys, it did.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network, on air, online, and on TV with Fox 43. When it comes to Penn State football, we've got you covered. Quarter number one this week, he's Greg Pickle. I'm Andy Shea. We're doing our news and notes. I wanted to ask you about, on the caravan, James talked a lot about the facilities and the new facility program, and I kind of got the impression that A, this is very important to him, and B, the university has asked him to help be a fundraiser to a degree, because they're coming up short money wise that's the bottom line. They're short on the money, and they've enlisted his help, and in doing so, James has sort of stepped out and brought some of it up. Do they have a facilities issue at Penn State? Is there some, you know, we talked about the 20 years and some of the carpet hasn't been replaced.
Right.
As a top 10 program in his mind, where he thinks they are, and they're close.
Yeah.
I think they're close to a perennial, like, okay, Penn State's one of the top 10. I don't think they're all the way home where you'd list them on 9 out of 10 list, but I think they're pretty darn close. Do they have a bit of a facilities issue? Yes or no?
I don't know. Maybe a little bit. I mean, you look at some of the facilities that are out and about around the country today, and you see sort of just how they've improved, just step by step, block by block, year by year. Just they have some really impressive facilities. And Penn State just really hasn't, you know, not that it's not made upgrades, and some of the stuff they've done in the Lash building's incredible. I mean, it looks like a totally different building, but it's not on the same levels as some of the things you've seen done at UCF or Texas A&M or Oregon or Clemson. Ohio State or Clemson.
Yeah, that's ridiculous,
I mean,
by the way.
Right, Alabama. I mean, they've made little, you know, things here and there, but, you know, I mean, the one thing I will say is that, you know, Andy, you look at, you know, Penn State put like a barber's chair in the Lash building and guys get haircuts there. And that's something that's been at other schools for a really long time. And it just wasn't a priority for Penn State. And not that a kid's going to pick Penn State because they now have a barber chair.
Right,
but
right.
It's just, you know, as you get further and further down the road and kids are comparing you to the Clemsons and Auburns and Alabamas and Oregons and Georgias of the world. You know, if you don't check all the boxes, you might not get a kid. And it's not to say the barber chair box needs to be checked, but it's the facilities box from an overall standpoint. So what they need is someone to step up. And, you know, some people have already stepped up and given Penn State money to start renovating the Lash building and to make some locker room improvements, all that. But like any other college football program, they need more, even if they are, you know, one of the 13th best or most richest revenue clearing whatever programs in the country.
And I think James took another huge first step in that with the NFL locker room thing that he, you know, when he talked to Barkley about possibly getting an apartment and coming back during the offseason.
Yeah.
These are his guys now.
Right.
And, you know, maybe part of the new plan would be to add an NFL locker room so that the NFL players could come out and work in the offseason. They're comfortable. They could be around the program. They could influence. That is – he did it at Vanderbilt to a degree.
Yeah.
And it will work. It's a huge selling point. I kind of like that. That's a good way to kind of go about it. But, all right, a couple more things in the last minute before we get out. I read something. You were doing some numbers, crunching numbers. Penn State doesn't release them, the scholarship number. It looks like they've got to make two scholarships disappear at least.
It does, yeah. I mean, I think the tough part, though, is that sometimes they roll these walk-on guys that got scholarships.
Right.
They don't make them happen year over year. You can get medical issues that, you know, you might think – player X is on a scholarship, but really he's a medical redshirt or a medical issue. So he's still having the benefit of his schooling being paid for, but he's not taking up one of those 85 scholarships.
Right.
So there's a lot of different things to watch for there, but certainly it looks like they're going to have to cut a guy or two, but something's going to have to happen for two
disappear.
Spots to clear up. Yeah.
Two scholarships have to disappear at least. There's some gerrymandering that can be done.
Right.
In the end. What's the date on that?
It's never really been made clear. I would have to assume it's the start of August camp.
That's what I thought.
That's when you have to be at your number.
All right, that'll do it for quarter number one. Coming up, Greg and I are going to talk about Penn State recruiting in the 2019 class. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.